We have Brad Friedman on the line from Brad Blog. Hey.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Good. So your blog at the very top says it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong.
That's about right, yeah.
And we're talking in a recent show about the electronic voting machines. And you've been blogging a lot about what's been going on in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Can you sort of summarize that for us or tell us a little bit about why are you concerned or interested in what's going on? These are the votes that are being that were cast in the recent New Hampshire primary.
Exactly right. And by the way, I got to hear some of your show, Tom, last week when you were calling some, I think it was last week, when you were calling some of the election directors in and around Chicago and Cook County and so forth, and you were asking some great questions. And it was quite telling that they were unable to answer some of those questions. But back to that in a second, concerning New Hampshire, you've got a state up in New Hampshire there where they've got 100% paper ballots. That's the good news, hand-marked paper ballots that one can look at and know, presuming the chain of custody is secure, one can know that these ballots reflect a voter intent. So if there's any questions about an election, you can, you know, determine them by examining those ballots. That's the good news. The bad news is that while 20% of the votes are counted up in New Hampshire by hand, the other 80% are counted by Diebold optical scan systems, optical scan machines, the very same ones that you may have seen being hacked in HBO's documentary Hacking Democracy.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask about, and I just wanted to point out to people in case they don't know.
Yeah.
People who say, well, you know, why are we talking about what happened in New Hampshire? It's important to people in New Hampshire. Why is it important to me? But I think that these are machines and types of machines, if not the exact same machines, that are used all over the country. So the conversation that we're really having is about how our votes are counted nationally, you know, in every state.
But that's exactly right. And those exact same machines that were seen in that film, to be specific, the Diebold optical AccuVote optical scan version 1.94W, were hacked in December of 2005 is when that occurred, and that hack that you see in that film. Since December 2005 and the vulnerabilities that were found in that machine that made them very easily hackable and allowed for an election to be flipped in such a way you couldn't detect it unless you bothered to count the paper ballots. That bug in the system is still there, is still in all of these machines that are used around the country. The exact same version was used up in New Hampshire. And the other systems made by the other companies, ES&S, Sequoia, and so forth, have similar vulnerabilities that make them both error-prone and easily hacked, frankly.
When you mentioned this film of the Diebold machines being hacked,
yeah,
what does this hack consist of? Was this something that somebody was able to do remotely? Was this something? What does it mean to say that somebody was able to hack the machine?
Well, in this case, and there are various ways to go about it. In this particular hack, the way it was done is someone was able to get access to that memory card. And they were essentially able to set it up such that in this particular the one you'll see in Hacking Democracy, it was a mock election down in Leon County, Florida, and with a simple yes or no question, can Diebold optical scan machines be hacked with their memory cards? Now, there was seven people voted, and seven said no, and one said yes. So we knew that we had the paper ballots. They were run through the optical scanners, and the results came out. Six people said no, two people said yes. The results were completely flipped.
So now, in order for someone to do that hack, I assume let's just say I'm an election official. I'm running an election in this one place with this one machine.
Mm-hmm.
I get the machine and I get a memory card that's sent with it.
Mm-hmm.
The only way is that card can be hacked is if let's say I'm the one that wants to change it. I get that card. I have to get that card out of the machine and do something to it, or it had to be done by the company that gave me the memory card in advance in the first place. Is that right?
There's a number of ways in. You, as the election director, have pretty much direct access to that memory card, and you can do anything you want with it.
And actually, my guess is that the people who run the elections aren't doing it. But let me put it the other way. If I were able to absolutely protect that memory card and make sure nobody got their hands on it, mm-hmm. would I be secure then in the fact that the memory card was going to count accurately? In other words, is there any way to do it remotely, or do you have to get your hands on the card?
No, there's all sorts of ways to do it remotely, actually. And it can be done at the programming stage. You might be secure in feeling that this memory card had not been hacked. The problem is, me, the voter, have no way of knowing that unless we check the paper ballots to determine if they were counted accurately. So any computer scientist or security expert will tell you that the greatest threat to computer security doesn't come from a guy like you or me walking into the polling place and somehow hacking the system. It comes from the insiders who have access to those machines, company employees, elections officials. In many states, incredibly enough, these voting machines are sent home with poll workers for days and weeks prior to the elections on so-called sleepovers. They're pre-programmed, they're in election mode, they're ready to go, and they send them home with these poll workers who have pretty much unfettered access to all of them. So that's, as you can see, that's a danger. And even if they are not hacked, the question is not so much were they hacked. The question is, can we have confidence that they were not hacked so that we can have confidence in the election? And that's whether you're the winner or the loser of the election.
What could be done? Because in one of the conversations when I was talking to a guy oversees the elections in Chicago. What could be done to ensure that? How would we check? How would I have as a voter? By what method could I have 100% certainty that what would you do? Would you always count 10% by hand in every for every machine just to see? Would that work? Would that be enough?
You had asked one of the election folks I had heard you speak to last week. You asked them a great question. You said, "Well, how do I know that in fact my vote was counted accurately on these machines?" And she referred to, you've got the number of people that signed into the poll books, and you can count the number of ballots later to make sure there was the right amount. She was talking about whether or not the ballots were counted, not whether they were counted accurately. And when you said, well, how do I find out if it was actually counted accurately, she couldn't answer. And the reason is because there is no way to know. She said, to come to a demonstration and you'll somehow get confidence in these systems as you see them run through a test deck or something like that.
That's exactly what she said, and I'm going to go to it. But I guess from what you're saying, there's nothing I would see there that would show me any more than what we're saying right now.
Well, that's right, because the test deck a week before the election can show you that everything is fine, but on the day of election, you have no way of knowing if the programming has changed and if those votes are being counted accurately.
Yeah, if you were the king of elections in the United States, how would you have it done? What would give you complete confidence as a voter?
Well, I would tell you to take those paper ballots and actually count them. Count them all. Count them at the precinct in front of everyone.
Why is it important to count them at the precinct?
Well, because once they leave that precinct and start moving back to the central headquarters, anything can happen to them. That's when the chain of custody sort of disappears and goes into this black hole. So if you count them at the precinct and post those results at the precinct, and mind you, when they're counted, they should be counted publicly. From all parties can be there looking, all members of the public can be there looking. They can fight about the voter intent if they want, but everyone can see everything.
In other words, you're saying in this system, if I'm a voter and this is my precinct, and I wanted to, let's say voting closes at 7, I could hang out at 7 from 7 to 9 or 7 to 10 or whatever it took
and
watch the votes counted
and
see the numbers come out 70 to 65 and see that number written on the wall and sent to the central and know that my precinct was counted and represented accurately.
You may remember the dusty old chestnut government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is how you get it. No voting system is certainly transparent.
But that version sounds very, that sounds very doable.
It does. And the problem is that you've got a whole bunch of corporations out there that want to make a whole bunch of money. You got a whole bunch of government officials who think that, the system couldn't be that bad because it got me elected. And then you got all of these people out there saying, what the hell is going on with our elections? So, count the ballots. As I say, nothing is going to be perfect, but you can make it as transparent as possible from beginning to middle to end so that everyone can see it. So if there's any question, you or I or anybody else can go in there afterwards and count all the ballots. I suggest we do it in the first place. And I know that, everybody wants – this is America, so they think we have to have a technological solution for all of these things. But the fact of the matter is – the simplest solution here so far seems to be the best. A piece of paper, a pen, a box that everyone can see in front of everyone that never leaves, and, some eyeballs to count those ballots.
Well, thank you. If anyone has an interest in this or an interest in being involved or pursuing this question or learning more about it, what recommendations do you have for how they could pursue that?
Well, I certainly recommend they stop by bradblog.com, where we report on this stuff daily, many times daily, frankly. Other sites such as blackboxvoting.org. But I also recommend that you get involved in your own county. Find out how this is done. Make some of the phone calls such that I heard you make last week, Tom. Ask questions of your supervisors. Become poll workers. Become observers. Remember, the counting on election night is to be open to all. Get down there and watch them count and make sure that this is counted in such a way that it satisfies you, because you are the customer and this is your democracy. So take part in it. And it makes it a lot harder for the bad guys and the elected officials and the media who wish to ignore this to be able to do so if you've got an educated and involved public.
How much confidence do you have in the Super Tuesday counting? Okay, that's an answer right there.
Hey, listen, you should not have to have faith and trust in your voting system. Our system is built on transparency and checks and balances, and anybody who tells you, any election official who tells you, oh, you got to trust us, don't trust them.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us, and it's cool. I hope we'll keep the conversation going in the future.
Touch base anytime, Tom, and thank you very much for having the foresight to understand that there are problems here and the willingness to look into it and to ask the questions that you've been having. We could use about a million more people who have access to megaphones to ask those same questions.